You want to start?
Sure. Do we have a structure or something? Or are we just
No.
gonna.
Well, I think we're just going to wing it today.
Okay, sounds good.
Because then we know what we're good at. You know, if this is shit, then we know, okay, we need structure. And if this is amazing, we got to, okay, we'll do that the next time.
Okay. I am ready.
As am I.
Hello, everybody. This is our podcast, which we still haven't named.
Yeah, that's true. I'm here too. Hi, everyone.
I'm Esther, and
I'm Lars.
I hope everyone is having a really wonderful day today. And we're gonna talk about a really interesting and a time-relevant topic today. I'm very excited to record this episode. Are you as well, Lars?
Yeah, I'm very curious, and I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm quite curious to see what will happen.
Yeah, we don't have too much structure in the topic today, so we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it goes well. Do you want to present the topic, Lars?
Yeah, can you remind me quickly what it was again?
So we are.
I know it a bit, like, but not exactly. So it was on like the war in Ukraine and how that affects sports, right?
Yes, exactly. Like how Russia invaded Ukraine a couple of weeks ago. We're recording this episode on the 10th or 11th of March 2022. And the current Winter Paralympics is also going on.
Very true.
So we thought it would be a relevant topic to talk about how it could affect, not just the Ukrainian athletes, but athletes across the globe in, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing that immediately sort of pops up is all the sanctions that not only governments have put forward to Russia, but also sporting federations.
Yes, like especially in football.
Football's been hit hard. Obviously, football's always also like, it's weird because it's very conservative because everyone watches the football first and go like, well, what are you going to do? Because that's where the money is. And then that also usually means that football is like late with this sort of stuff because there's a lot of like high paying people that they need to keep friendly with, and like Gazprom, one of the gas natural gas
Yes,
sponsors
yeah.
is big in the UEFA. So yeah, I didn't really expect that, but they immediately banned all Russian teams and all Russian athletes, like footballers, from most matches, in the Belarus team now as well.
Yes, yeah, I heard that.
And only today I heard about a Russian player in the Premier League in England who had not said out loud that he was against the war, and the
Oh,
FA has,
was he cancelled?
well, the FA has punished him for that as well, and as far as I know, he's not allowed to play now.
Oh.
So it's yeah, it's weird, and that's just football. You're more into the athletics.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Russian athletes not supposed to race under Russian flag until the end of this year anyways. So they can only compete in neutral flag, they can't use their color, the country colors and the song and things like
Right,
that.
that's the Paralympics, right?
Well, that's for all the sporting
Right,
events,
okay.
I think. Because in 2019, I don't actually know what happened in 2019, but the International Olympic Committee decided that the Russians are banned of using their own colors, probably doping again.
Yeah, that was after the McLaren report, which, Russia has had a weird history with the rest of the world,
I
in
know.
everything, but especially in sports.
Yeah, and especially in doping, because it's usually like an individual choice if you use like extra drugs to enhance your performance. But the Russian doping situation is actually it was actually funded by the government, so they put
Yeah.
loads of money in that.
Oh yeah, like the 1980 Olympics in Moscow were
Yes.
deemed the chemist games, weren't they?
Yeah.
It was It was the cleanest games ever because no one was found to be doping at that Olympics, which is madness.
I know. But even in like 2014 when they held the Winter Olympics in Sochi, they had huge doping problems and they tried to, you know, cover up everything. That was
mad. Yeah,
that was mad.
If you haven't seen it, please go and watch the documentary Icarus. Please do that.
I have to.
Like, I've seen it a few times and it blows my mind every time. I think it won an Oscar as well or something. I don't know, but it's very, very good. Please watch it.
Is it on Netflix?
I think it is. Yeah, and if it's not, it will probably have been bought by something else. So, yeah,
homework for me.
Find some link, but it's very good and it's all about this. But yeah, that shows how weird Russia sort of has been in the world of sports throughout history.
Yeah, a fun fact, because I like statistics and numbers. So, these dopings resulted Russia to lose 46 Olympic medals.
46?
46 in total. And it's like that's the top in the world. And also they had 150 athletes who were caught doing doping, at least, which is also so much more than actually worldwide, even if you just add up the numbers, all the other numbers worldwide, and there is Russia.
No, that's
they still lead.
And it's also not just about medals, is it? I mean, if you're at the Olympics, that means that someone isn't at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because it's a zero-sum game, sports, and, you know, whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter. If you cheat, you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But I think this is what I'm struggling with, you know, because now, for example, with the Formula One, there's a Russian driver, and his dad's very rich, good mates with Putin, Mazepin, he's called. And now, and that father also sponsored the Formula One team, and obviously that was now banned and stuff. And now that boy is not allowed to drive in the car. Actually, he's been sanctioned now by the EU, so he's not allowed to leave Russia yet, I think.
Ooh.
Or at least he can't travel to the EU. And he's now trying to sort of put this foundation together for athletes that were sort of caught up in this. And I don't know where I stand on it. Because the only reason he is in that car is because his dad's rich. And the only reason his dad's rich is because he's mates with Putin.
Yeah.
But then you can also say, like, that boy didn't ask for it, you know. Where do you stand?
I know, it's a very tricky question, because I would like to say, like, it's Putin's war, and then it was his decision invading Ukraine, and the athletes didn't want that, or most of them, especially the young ones, they had nothing to do with this whole thing. But then also Russia has such a bad history with sports and, like, being good athletes in general, or fair athletes, without cheating. So I don't know. I would like to support the athletes, but on the other hand, I'm like, no, you guys, sorry, you don't deserve it.
I know, it's so tricky, because it's like, it's almost like a colliding rights issue, where on the one hand you could say, listen, I have the right to do sports because I wasn't involved in this war, you know, I didn't do that, so I have the right to just remain doing what I do. But then you can also say that others have the right to take that place, it because they haven't done anything bad either, or if anything less than you have. So it's a weird one, and obviously in Formula One it's a bigger issue, because money dictates who drives that car, really. But you now see it in every sport, and it's tricky with you know, you've got 16, 17, 18 year olds, the youth world championships and that. It's tricky for them.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Russian already can use their country colors, so completely banning them wouldn't be such a hard hit on them. I don't know.
What do you think about that whole, oh, you're allowed to compete but not under your own flag? Like, is that a solution? Is that enough for you?
I don't know. To be fair, honestly, I would totally ban those who have been caught using doping before, and I wouldn't let them, you know, compete in any color. But for those who didn't do anything bad, they just try to do their sports and they love it, and it's totally not their fault, their country kind of stuck. and they never did doping, I would be like, that's sad.
That, yeah. Because
obviously the biggest thing you can achieve as an athlete, kind of represent your country and be the best for your country. And taking that away from you, I think it can be a very big and harsh punishment.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, but I mean, they did something really bad, so they kind of deserve it. It's so tricky
though, because if we are going to decide per person, per athlete in Russia, like, what's the deal, then how, like, we also need Russians to stand up against Putin.
Yes.
You know, so if we are going to, like, take care of everyone that's sort of not involved in this and get them out of the way, then you might just remain with people supporting Putin anyway, because the athletes are still going.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too tricky.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I don't have to make those decisions.
Oh my god, I'm so glad I'm not on an Olympic committee.
Also, like, then there's, like, sponsors that get involved, and, like, other high white men that want to get involved. And it's just, it's a ball ache, really.
I know. It's, a lot of it is about money and business, to be fair. At least, as you said, in Formula One and for football, for sure, as well.
Oh, yeah. Now you get all these, like, symbols where they have, like, the Ukrainian flag on the captain's band, and, like, they do no to war things and stuff. And it, I don't know, it's always a bit cringe, I think. Because it's good, you know.
They're supportive, at least.
They are, yeah. It's also the bare minimum, really.
Yeah.
Because at the end, it's just 22 players holding a sign that says no war.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to do any fucking thing. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just find that, I find it cringe to watch. Because it also feels now like it's being used as sort of promotion. Like, look at us being
good people.
Good people being, like, I don't know, world knowledge.
Yeah. It's also very tricky how much you talk about the war. Because if you don't talk about it at all and you don't post or, you know, you don't stand anywhere, you were labeled as a bad person who doesn't care. But also, is there a limit how much, you know, you talk about it and how much is kind of good without actually self-promotion?
Yeah, and for most of the athletes, like, athletes are usually between, like, 20 and 30 years old, right?
Mm.
So for most of them, this is the first war in their lives, like it is for us, really. So for them to decide what's good and what's bad, or when it's enough, that I understand that's tricky. But yeah, I also feel like it's a bit, I don't know, it's still cringe to watch. Quand on partait de bon matin, quand on partait sur les chemins, à bicyclette, nous étions quelques bons copains. Il y avait Fernand, il y avait Firmin, il y avait Francis et Sébastien, et puis Paulette. On était tous amoureux d'elle, on se sentait pousser les ailes à bicyclette. Sur les petits chemins de terre, on a souvent vécu l'enfer pour ne pas mettre pied à terre devant Paulette. What do you think about this about these people that say, like, oh, maybe we, you know, shouldn't do the sports right now because there are more important things going on? Have you heard these people?
I actually haven't heard such statements, and I'm glad I didn't, because it's not a good attitude, I don't think, at least.
It's like, how can you play football right now when there are, you know...
Yeah, but then, you know, then you're not allowed to go about your everyday routine because there is a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. And then this war is going on since, like, 2014, obviously in a smaller extent since, you know, they invaded the Crimea island. This is how you
call it? Yeah, the peninsula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so there are so many also other wars going on in the world. And then I think playing sports could kind of take your mind off this whole war and whole reality. And I think a lot of people need that.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few teams where, you know, Russians and Ukrainians play in the same team, mm-hmm. or at least against each other in the same league. And it shows that it can be done.
Yeah, I actually heard that for the Paralympics, that a couple of athletes that sad that they are not gonna, you know, have a match with their Russian opposer in individual sports at least. I heard statements like that because they think it's not fair that the Russian can still compete in the Winter Olympics. The only reason actually they can still compete because it was such a short period of time that legally the Olympic Committee wasn't allowed to take them out of the whole.
Right, so they tried to do that.
Well, yes, but they're still under neutral colours.
Right, yeah.
So,
you know what's worse? That I actually, at the Olympics, when a Russian won, in the old days, when they still could win as a Russian, I kind of... See, I was always supporting the Dutch, obviously, and then I would never go to the Russian necessarily, but if they won, I would enjoy the national anthem because it's one of the best national anthems in the world.
Is it?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Since they don't want anyone wrongfully thinking that they support Putin or any of his maniacal ambitions, Esther and Lars decided to not put the anthem in the podcast. You can find it on YouTube anyway.
Well, I'll let you listen to it in a break. Yeah. But now, even that's not. So now we still have a Russian winning, but we don't have the great national anthem.
No, we don't have that.
Yeah. Have you seen anything of the Paralympics?
No, I didn't have much time to watch actual races. I know some of the results. But no. Sadly, I'm not as interested in the Paralympics as I am in the
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too. Like, why am I less interested in it? Because, you know, I have some affiliation with that. I love sports. I have, handicapped people in my close circle. So I should, if anyone. But it's, I think the beauty of, you know, the beauty of the Olympics is the pressure that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure is also there because millions of people around the world watch it.
Yeah.
And I know that's a self-fulfilling thing. I know that millions of people around the world watch it because of the pressure. And that.
Yeah.
So I get that. But yeah, if it's not there, it just doesn't feel as important.
That's
and it's
true.
It's not fair because they train as hard and they have overcome probably more. But yeah.
I know.
It's incredible to see though sometimes, like that's sitting down skiing, that's mental.
I know, I've seen a YouTube video on that, so I was like, how do you do that? I can't even do it with a fully capable body.
Yeah, like everyone who starts to do skiing learns about the V
yes. shape.
You can't do that when you're, yeah, the pizza yeah. shape thing. You can't do that when you're sitting down.
No, you can't.
Think about that.
No.
So even the first thing you learn, you can't do. That must be tricky.
It's
start learning how to swim, but you can't use your arms or your legs.
I know, it's mental. Like,
how do you
seriously,
do that?
These people are so tough and so talented in many ways. And I should be more invested in the future in Paralympics in any ways, or para sports.
Yeah.
So that's
kind of
like a
new
year resolution in March.
That's good, I like that. Yeah, I'll tell you another problem with it though, is the classification of athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hard, and it's only hard because it has to be, because it's hard to compare athletes otherwise, but it's too tricky.
I know. I mean, two swimmers who has one of them has zero arms and the other has zero legs, that's, I don't know if they should compete in the same category.
I don't even know if they can. I don't know if that's
because
there's hundreds of categories.
I know.
And we are both interested in sport, we both sort of study stuff like this, we should be able to understand it. And I feel like for people who have a higher threshold to watch something like that, they haven't got a clue.
I know.
It's a big problem.
Maybe we should make a special episode just on the Paralympic systems and how they are categorizing people. I'm sure they have a kind of logical system to do it.
Yeah, right? Actually, I think that's a great idea, by the way. Let's do that. But I was at this Congress of American Sports Medicine Congress, whatever it was, in Florida, and I went to this talk where they were talking about exactly this, and I think they still haven't figured it out. They've been working on it for 50 years or something, and they still haven't figured out the perfect way to do it.
Oh my god. Did they ask the athletes though what they think? Do you think?
I don't know, actually. I don't, because
maybe having some involvement from that side could help this case move forward.
That is free. Actually, the IOC has done that now with the transgender
mm-hmm.
guidelines. They asked the athletes which we'll go into in another episode. But it's yeah, it's tricky because in the end, opinions are important, but facts are more important. Yeah. And if a survey says one thing, but actually the science says something else, then you maybe have created more of a problem than actually solved one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's gonna cause conflicts anyways. No matter what you do, you never get it done perfectly, I guess.
Anyway, we went a bit off piece there anyway.
It's okay. yeah, back to the sanctions that Russia has to face. I just, you know, just on a quick note that also there is this, the World Cup going on, Ski Federation, Ski World Cup, and it has 6 stop in Russia through March. And so they relocated everything, every race, every competition, every event ever that it's going to happen in Russia and in Belarus. And also I heard because China is supporting Russia, the federation is also thinking to just ban them too.
This is the skiing.
Well, yeah, that's for the skiing. Well, probably every event coming up in Russia. I know the skiing one is in March, so they have to decide it very, very quickly.
Yeah, I've heard the Formula One has done that. The race is off in Russia. I think the cycling has done the same thing, where all events are cancelled.
Yeah.
The ISU, the speed skating, or the skate union, has done that, which I think that's a big hit for Russia, because the ice dancing is, or the figure skating is one of the main things there.
I'm kind of sad because I love that. And the Russians are so good.
I know, but yeah.
But you know, the thing is that there are so many Russian coaches in Europe. I know, for example, in the French team, they have 1 or 2 Russian coaches that are very strict. So, you know, if they can make the Russians be the best, then the Russian coach is gonna, you know, just spread across Europe and then maybe start to train other nations.
Yeah, I don't know how that will go, because like the governments are now sanctioning, like putting sanctions directed towards certain people, like very personal attacks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like federations can do that too, because coaches have a license through federations, right?
Yeah.
So you could revoke that, I'm assuming.
I guess, but if you only have a license through the Russian Federation, I'm sure they're going to be like, well, I can take that away from you. Can they not? If they have like an EU one.
Well, I'm assuming that the World Federations, the Global Federation, gives... You don't think? I don't know, actually. I don't know. Maybe they...
I'm not sure if you need like an... a proper like an Olympic federation or license to be able to coach someone.
Well, maybe not at the amateur level, but I reckon if you go to, you know, if you have the figure skating at the higher level, I reckon that the Russian skating federation gives those out to Russian coaches, but then it's accredited by the ISU, surely.
Yeah, that could be true.
We haven't heard anything like that yet. It might still happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sanctions are not... Well, that's all that's happening. I'm not sure if it's enough to, you know, to actually make a difference.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do you think... Does it matter, all this?
I don't know. It's a nice gesture, but is it enough? Russia is such a big country with such huge powers, and I'm sure... I mean, they're going to lose some kind of business here or there in sports, but I'm sure the sport industry is not the only one they have. And then, you know, they have strong connection with like China, and there's gonna, you know, money's gonna come through from those businesses, and I'm not sure if they actually need us. Maybe it's gonna be a big hit on the sports, but the country itself, or is it gonna stop Putin to do war and more invading? I don't think so.
Well, one thing that was that has been hypothesized about the taking of the Ukrainian peninsula, the Crimea thing, is that the Olympics were just before that, and part of the reason why the doping was so big there was state organized and all that, was because Putin needed goodwill from the people. He needed popularity so he could do the invasion in the Ukraine. And sport is a way to do that. For some reason, and this is not just Russians, everywhere on the planet, if our athletes do well, we are proud to be from that nation, and therefore we support our leaders more often than if they do something like that. And by banning all these Russian athletes, that does give, I don't know if it will be enough, but at least it's like a hit in, it hits their patriotism, perhaps.
Yeah.
It could also swing the other way, where they go like, oh, now it's just us, you know, that I don't know, but at least they can't measure themselves with the rest of the world and be superior in that.
I know. I guess it just depends on how the Russian propaganda is going to present this whole thing, because they can put it in another
way.
Like, oh, the EU, they suck. They've only wanted to hurt us
scared of our athletes.
Yeah, ever since. And then, you know, they're just going to hate us more. I don't know, because I've seen loads of protests in Russia against Putin, but these are kind of put out so fast and so easily. It's like the people can't really do anything.
No.
It's the government now.
You can't blame the people for not speaking up.
No, you know, it's like the Soviet Union over
again. It's mad, yeah. So, like, obviously, I'm from Holland, and Holland is a bit weird because it's like it's close, but it's just not close enough for people to actually. Like, people are worried, but not like frightened yet, you know?
Yeah.
But how's that in Hungary?
It's a little different because we have borders with Ukraine. Although it's not on the whole invading is not so close to us yet because it's the other part of Ukraine. I think it hits us more, and also because Hungary is famous for supporting the Russians. So currently our government didn't say openly that we do support the Russian, we are actually against them, but we still don't let any weapons coming through our country to go to Ukraine and support them with weapons.
And people fleeing from the war, refugees?
Some, yes.
Okay. So when, because that's quite tricky then, because you have a government that's secretly
supported. And we also have upcoming votes on April 3rd, so that's gonna make it more tricky, and I don't know what's gonna happen.
No,
because there is this big party that is in power now, and the opposite, they're not too strong.
Okay, you think that people now go, okay, maybe, you know, like the Ukraine is doing, we need to tighten up with the West a bit more, because obviously this man is a lunatic, so. We're better off, like, I'm not saying the West is all that good, but at least you have like four semi-lunatics rather than one in power.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I would have expected that more, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping for a change in governmental, because as in Russia, in Hungary, you don't have a limit on how long can you be in power. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe we just, I think if we're gonna have another 4 years of this bullshit, we actually might leave the EU at some point.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think it might also be this is happening throughout the world now, where it's like you're either with us or against us, right? That kind of thing. Which is, it's kind of how fans react when it comes to sports, you know? When I meet someone who supports a different club, it doesn't even matter which one. It's just so you're not one of us.
Yeah.
That's the idea. And that's what we love about sport as well. But then you see that now in like club politics, which is a bit scary.
The scary thing is that how much sports and politics are interconnected.
Yeah.
That's more scary for me, that the one doesn't really exist without the other, and sports should be a neutral thing. Apart from government, and it's not really.
No, it's so true. Like, you mentioned China, and the Olympics that just finished. I heard that they budgeted that at $4 billion, or whatever they have over there. I think dollars, it was what it was. And they went over by 10 times. So I think it cost in total 38, so that's 9 times more, $38 billion. How does that work? If you do that, if we make a mistake like that at uni, you're done.
Yeah.
you just have to do it all over and
yeah.
make. But these are the biggest countries in the world, and they just can do that. And to be fair, they said that they were going to make it back by winter sports in that area.
Oh my god! I mean, look at their leaders, though.
You know, did you see that? You saw the skiing, right? In there, so it was just it's super dry mountains near Beijing.
Yeah.
So to make fake snow, they had to pump up water because there wasn't any to make the fake snow.
That must have costed loads.
It's just mental, mental, and everyone like the IOC is just going like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
Why don't they choose the country with like, you know, natural snow?
Yeah, that's what you. But like, so there's a bit of a problem now because countries don't want to do it anymore because it costs a lot of money.
It's loads of money.
It costs a lot of money. In the early days, you'd get like loads of publicity, and that would usually pay easily for it. But now it's such a big event. We really have to start thinking of how we're going to do this in the future because the IOC struggled to find anyone for the past Olympics. They were happy, like Beijing was actually planned for 4 years later.
Yeah.
And they sort of went like, oh, we'll do it now then. Yeah. Because the IOC had no one because I think Oslo was the other, I think. And they stepped out.
It's a big hit on your money, financial situation, I guess, as a country because it doesn't, half of it doesn't come back from... Because you would think, oh, it's going to attract, like, tourists and shit like that. But it doesn't, actually.
No, it doesn't.
Especially in these COVID times, I guess.
It would if it was, like, Paris, but not...
But that's 2024.
Yeah, but... And even then, if you have, like, a country where you respect the people that live in it, if you're the boss of the country, and you respect the people that live in it, then you can't do this anymore because it's too expensive.
It's too expensive.
You can't explain that to the people that pay for it.
I know.
But... For us,
why
the people
is it
that,
so expensive?
I don't.
Though?
Well,
what does it cost so much? Like, but
it's the officials, isn't it? It's
maybe.
All the it's the sponsors and they have to go to like nice places and all that.
But why? Because most of the countries, at least I know, France has already an Olympic stadium.
Yeah.
But they never reuse those. They're just abandoned and left.
Well, that's the other thing. Everything gets built. For one time, isn't
yeah,
it?
But then why? Because they could save so much money on not building another unnecessary stadium that they're just gonna abandon.
Yeah, well, I someone told me this. I won't claim it myself, and I'd like to hear what you think. Someone said, why don't we just have, let's say, one or two cities per continent where it's held?
Yeah,
and then we just, you know,
go around
that. We'll do a rotation, and then every continent has it once, and then. Because in the end, that's still quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's only every 4 years.
Yeah.
And you know, you could do the Winter Olympics. You do one in like the Alps. You do one in like, I don't know, Patagonia or something.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. One in North America. And the Summer Olympics obviously are a bit easier.
Yeah.
But then that's also because the beauty of it is, as well is that we all remember the events at the Olympics. At least I do, through where they were.
Yeah.
It's a big part of...
That's also very true,
well,
but...
So tricky.
But sometimes, like, loads of small countries, like us, Hungary, we wanted to have the upcoming Summer Olympics in 2024 in Hungary, which is just like, we can't afford it.
No. And then you have to do it with other countries combined, and... You see that now, that happened with the Euros in football the last time, didn't it? Yeah, I don't know, it's also... Because then you have to fly... That's also weird. Yeah, I don't know.
And they get all the sponsoring shit. Like, they get the athletes get new phones and headphones and all the kit and everything, which are often unnecessary because I see a lot of athletes just kind of giving away those stuff to, like, charity kind of way. So why do you spend extra money on that when they don't actually need it?
Well, this last Olympics in China, actually, the athletes were told not to bring their own phone. Have you heard this?
Yes, but that's because of control.
Yeah, so they were scared that they were going to like tap the phone, so they bought like burner phones and they had to leave them there as well.
Yeah.
Imagine that, like, I wouldn't say the Olympics was always like a lovely, fun, you know, game for everyone, because it isn't. It's always been weird and it's always been highly pressured and all that.
Yeah.
It's like a pressure cooker every 4 years. So
why don't we do this?
Well, I'm just saying, like, it feels like it's becoming more and more out of control now.
like our world, like the society itself. It just represents what we, it just holds a mirror to us, like, see, this is all your craziness in every 4 years. Why do you do this yourself? You can do it so much simpler and easier, and everybody would still be happy with it.
You know?
No.
Yeah. It's like, it becomes harder and harder to defend why you love the Olympics, which is strange, because it's sport. It's a good thing. People enjoy sports all around the planet. It's good for you. It's healthy. But now people go like, oh, no, I don't watch the Olympics. And they actually have good reasons why not.
Yeah.
Like, that's so mad. They go like, oh, no, I don't watch the Olympics. It's a totally terrible regime. And you go like, well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, I like to see people run.
I know. It's so sad. And there are also other events you can see people run, like European Championship, World Championships and things like that.
No, I know. It's not the same, though, is it? Something about it. It's just brilliant.
I know. Moi, la chanteuse à demi, parlez de moi à vos amours, à vos amis. Parlez-leur de cette fille aux yeux noirs et de son rêve fou. Moi, ce que je veux, c'est écrire des histoires qui arrivent jusqu'à vous. C'est tout. Voilà, 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 voilà qui je suis. Me voilà, même si mise à nu, j'ai peur. Oui, me voilà dans le bruit et dans le silence.
Right, so we've come to the end of our podcast, a bit different one than the last time, I think, because, well, we tried to talk about, like, the current world events.
Yeah.
Which is something we do all the time when we're not recording the podcast, but it comes clear that, you know, sometimes a little bit of pre-knowledge is good. But anyway...
That was a good conversation, I think. Even if we were not super prepared, I think we discussed most of the important points. I don't want to, you know, dump too much information on you guys either.
Exactly. So we're just going to save that all for the next time. In the meantime, just like, follow.
Like. Subscribe.
Subscribe to the whole shebang. Give us, you know, whatever amount of stars is possible.
Ratings. If you think we got some information not correctly, just let us know and we can correct
it. Yeah, that's actually very important. Correct us, and then we'll mention that we'll mention you as well in the next podcast. Topics are also good.
Yeah, any topic ideas we appreciate. And we don't have any availability yet, but as soon as you guys hear this episode, we're gonna have it. So
yeah, that's actually what we've been talking about. We you know, the, like we said, the last podcast was more like a uni thing.
Yeah.
But we are gonna try and make this a more regular thing now. We're gonna try and see if we can get it on like socials and stuff. We haven't
done yet.
No, we have no idea how that works. So we'll figure it out. But hopefully, this becomes a regular thing and you'll hear us more often.
Yeah, so thanks for listening us and joining us today. This was Esther.
This was Lars.
And he talked to you soon, or see you soon, or you can hear about us soon.
Yeah, we'll be back soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I need to pee. Tour à tour, nous sommes des passants.